All right. Well, when you hear that music, it is time for the Psalms. Yes. And today we're looking at Psalm 87. Psalm 87 is one of the Psalms that typically on a Marian feast or a solemnity, this is one of the Psalms that's selected to pray. And so we're going to take a look at this Psalm, and we're going to see how why the church chooses this particular Psalm to talk about the Blessed Mother. So this is Psalm 87. So this is in book 4 of the Psalms, the Tefet Tedachim, the book of sung praises. And this one is of the sons of Korah. And so we talked about the sons of Korah in Numbers chapter 16. Korah and his family rebelled against Moses and Aaron. And as a punishment, it says, the ground opened and they went down alive to Sheol. Fire from heaven consumed the followers of Korah. The only ones that survived were the sons of Korah, not the actual biological sons, but the those followers who did not rebel. Numbers chapter 26, verse 11. And they went on to become some of the superintendents of the musical guild of the Jewish temple. And they also wrote a number of the Psalms as well. And in this particular book of the Psalms, they wrote 84, 85, 87, 88 were by the sons of Korah. So the prescript of this psalm, very simple, of the sons of Korah, a psalm, a song. Okay, very simple. So it starts off, founded by him on the holy mountain, the Lord loves the gates of Zion. So again, so Zion is the heavenly Jerusalem, kind of the spiritual name for Jerusalem, right? So founded on this holy mountain, the Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob, right? So the dwellings of Jacob. So remember when the kingdom was divided, there were 10 tribes in the north and 2 tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin. So all the dwellings of the tribes of Jacob. And of you are told glorious things, you, O city of God. Rahab and Babylon I will count among those who know me. So interesting, Rahab and Babylon. So these are supposed to be enemies of the Israelites. But yet, the sons of Korah have confidence that God can even move those who are Israel's enemies. Those who don't know him will come to know him. See, that's how it's supposed to work. These other tribes are supposed to come to know the Lord through the example and the witness of the Israelites, who were chosen by God to be the ones to witness to his power to the world. And now, we as Catholics, you know, the church founded by Jesus Christ, we're the ones that are supposed to be doing the same thing. We're the ones that are supposed to be witnessing to this culture of the power of God's love. So to, it says Rahab and Babylon, and it goes on Tyre, Philistia, and again, Philistines, right? People of the sea, also enemies of Israel, Ethiopia, you know, Africa there. It is told, here was this one born, but of Zion, it shall be said, each one was born in her. So the church, as the mother, gives birth to faith in all of these other countries, right? And so the church is the mother. So you see, you can see here now why this psalm is typically associated with Marian feasts, right? The church is a mother. The church gives birth. We see Revelation 12, 1. We see the Blessed Mother as the mother of the church. We also see at the foot of the cross when Jesus gives care of his mother to John. He says, woman, here is your son. So there's two things going on. Obviously, he's making sure that his mother is taken care of after he dies, but also spiritually, he's giving care of the church to the apostles. Mary is the archetype of the church, and he's giving her giving care of her now to the apostles, right? So that beautifully symbolized in that beautiful image of giving care of his mother to John. And so it was, there was this one born, but of Zion, it's how we said, each one was born in her. So these faiths are reborn in Christ. There's a rebirth, a renewal in the spirit. Now, here's the thing is, and I bring this up because we had a, I knew a gentleman that was going to church. He's from, I think he's from Nigeria, one of the countries on the continent of Africa, and he was regularly attending mass, and then he stopped coming. And when I was, and I saw him once, and I said, "Hey, I miss you, you know, at church. What's going on?" And he had mentioned the fact that he wanted to go back to the ancestral religion that were practiced by kind of the indigenous folks there in the country he was from, you know, from his village, and kind of, you know, the original kind of tribal religion. And because he said that the tribal religion was poisoned or they came under the influence of the, you know, the missionaries that came to the country there. You know, and so he thought, well, we have to remove that influence and get back to the roots of what the faith was about. And so he missed the whole point. That I think the Sons of Korah are trying to say here, that when the missionaries go, that they're bringing the fullness of the faith. So the faith is there, obviously, in seed form, and the church is all about enculturation. The church is not about destroying someone's faith, but again, stirring that the flame, stirring those embers of that faith into flame to help them to see the witness of the fullness of that faith, who is Jesus Christ, and the, so it's not like we're trying to impose our faith. We're trying to help them see their faith in the light of who God is in His fullness, revealing Himself to him in and through Jesus Christ. And so I think that's what's going on here. This is the point that my friend missed. And so I hope I continue to see him again so we can keep talking about this important issue.
Well, and I know with your travels, you know, speaking in different countries and stuff, is there ever a perspective of faith that Americans like, wow, that is so far removed from how we as Americans see God or see God's word?
Well, I think what happens, Ace, that we sometimes get tunnel vision. You know, because we're used to going to our mass at my parish at 10 o'clock every Sunday. And in their mind, that's the only way they know how to worship God.
Right.
You know, but when you start going to like other countries and like Singapore or Malaysia or Indonesia, and you see the way the faith is celebrated in mass there, where they bring some of those traditions into the mass, not to water down the mass or diminish the mass or lose its meaning or add, you know, things that don't belong there in the mass. This is authentic enculturation. This is where it's all about still focus on the worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's done in a way that speaks from the very heart of the culture of that people. So you see like an image of a Jesus on the crucifix, that's black or that's Asian. Some people say, well, the Jesus was white. He doesn't look like that. That's nuts. First of all, he's a Palestinian Jew. If you look at people from that area, they're not white.
Yeah.
but that's not even the point, because there's no physical description of Jesus. Yeah. The scriptures don't say what color he is. Because it doesn't matter, because he's here for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's about the truth of who he is and what faith in Jesus Christ means, entering into the life of the Trinity. That's what it's all about. And so... So here in this Psalm 87, I love this, that the church is, in a sense, gives birth to faith in all these other countries, all throughout the different parts of the world. And that was the primary mission of the missionaries, to bring that faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus says to Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So there's an obligation, a sense of responsibility, to share the beauty and truth of our faith and love with everyone. And the Psalms goes on toward the end here. He, the Most High, established it, right? So God is the one who establishes it. In his register of peoples, the Lord writes, here was this one born. So it's like a birth registry. Once the church goes out and gives birth to the life of faith to others, then their names be recording where? In the book of life, for the book of Revelation. Here was this one born. Okay, here's a birth registry. Here's all the people who were brought into faith in Christ. The singers cry out in chorus, in you all find their home. Yes, because our home is in Christ. Our home is not here. You've heard me say this before. Our home is not here on earth. Our home is in heaven. We are just on pilgrimage here on earth. Our true home is with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in heaven. And Mary, the mother, the archetype of the church, just as the church gives birth to the world and the life of the Holy Spirit and brings people to her heart, Mary and being in a relationship of intimacy and communion with her, since she is close to Christ, always draws us more deeply into the heart of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So I think the psalm has a beautiful twofold meaning. The church as a mother, bringing people to faith, to the Catholic faith, and then Mary as a mother, also drawing people in a personal way more toward the heart of her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.